Okay, we have been studying in this class this quarter a topic called Bible backgrounds to help us try to get a richer understanding of Scripture, and we've had a break here with our lectureship and mission report last week, and so we want to get back into this and to finish at least the study we started about 3 weeks ago. What we've been trying to do with this class is to look at various topics that can help us to have a, when we put all of those together, to help us to have a better understanding as we read through Scripture, how things fit together, why things are the way that they are, and specifically as we talk about this particular topic about the government that existed in Palestine, particularly during the days of Jesus, that government was multifold. You had, and we looked at it 3 weeks ago in respect to when Jesus was born, there was a decree that had been issued for all men to go to their city of birth to be registered. And the one who issued that decree was Caesar Augustus, was the Roman Caesar. Now, at the same time, you read about when Jesus was born that shortly thereafter, there was a king named Herod who tried killing all of the infants in order to kill Jesus. Now, who was king? Was Caesar king? Or was Herod king? Yes, sir.
Was he named Herod or called Herod?
He was called Herod. Just the same as Caesar was called Caesar. That was not the name that his mama gave him when he was born. You know, now some, there may have been some mothers who were ambitious and named their child Caesar, but that didn't necessarily mean they were going to grow up to be the Caesar. So as you go through the history of Rome, here are the here's a listing of some of the names of the Caesars. Now, that was not their given name. These are their given names. But at some point in the history of Rome, these men sat on the throne as the emperor, as the Caesar. When Paul appealed unto Caesar, was there anyone higher that he could appeal to in the Roman world? That was it. Paul appeared before governors on trial. Was there somebody higher than the governors? Paul appeared before kings on trial. Was there somebody higher than the kings? He appealed all the way to the top. So when you're talking about this government system in the time of Jesus, in the time of the first century church, it's multifold from the standpoint, and we looked at these names last time, so we won't go through these again. But you had the ultimate authority was Rome. Rome was the governing authority starting in about 63 BC and all the way through century, you had Rome as the major world empire. And yet Rome delegated its authority out. This is not parallel by any means, but maybe it would help us to understand that our federal government delegates authority in some respects, don't they? Of course, then they turn the vacuum cleaner on and want to suck all the authority back, but that's beside the point. They delegate the authority to the states. And so there are certain matters that a state is designed to deal with that it doesn't reach the federal level. Is that correct? Talking about best case scenario and the way that this country was founded. The way it was set up is you have the federal government, then you have the state governments, and then you have some local governments, and so these local governments deal with issues that the states do not. The states deal with matters and legal matters that the federal government does not. It's not parallel, but maybe that helps us to see that when you're dealing with the Roman Empire, that the Roman Empire delegated some authority to certain areas. Now, when we're looking at Palestine, there were some authorities that we read about there, and we talked about Herod the Great last time. Herod the Great was called, he was called the king. He was called Herod. Herod was not his name, although that's how he's designated. This is the Herod who tried to kill baby Jesus. And so when you're reading in Matthew chapter 2 and you read about Herod, that's the Herod who tried to kill baby Jesus. Here's what I want us to do. We didn't have this last time, and I hope this will help us. Here's Herod the Great at the top. He's the big daddy. He was the king who came in and really set the stage in Palestine for what it would be to rule that area. Herod the Great was king of all of Palestine. And that was not true of all of his sons. But when he was king, he ruled over all of Palestine and had a certain temperament about him. When he died, Herod had four sons. Here are the names of these four sons. Some of these are mentioned by name in Scripture. The middle two are mentioned by name in Scripture. The others are not. Archelaus, we talked about last time. Archelaus, and we'll look at it in just a minute again. But Archelaus, when Herod the Great tried to kill baby Jesus. And so where did Mary and Joseph go? Where did they take baby Jesus for safety? Egypt. All right, so they get news that Herod the Great has died. They start to make their way back because, hey, the guy who wanted to kill Jesus is dead. But as they made their way back, what did they learn? That Herod's son was reigning in his place. Herod's son who was reigning in his place was named Archelaus. And so Archelaus, and let me back up to that chart. Archelaus was the son, not mentioned by name, but was one of the successors to his father. But when Herod the Great died, remember that we said he ruled over all of Palestine. When he died, his land, his rule was divided among these three sons. Archelaus kind of had that southern area of Judea and Samaria. Philip reigned over the region up near Galilee, Antipas had the region just south of Galilee, and then Philip was north of Galilee. And Aristobulus, the fourth son, apparently was the black sheep of the family because he didn't get anything. When Herod the Great made out his will, he left land to those three sons, but he did not leave any land to Aristobulus. But there's the four sons, Archelaus. He's also called Herod, and that's where it gets confusing, is because it's the same when we read about Caesars. We said this last time. Same when we read about Moses. We think in the book of Exodus, when Moses went before Pharaoh, that was the dude's name, that his name was Pharaoh. No, that's who he was. That was the position that he held in Egypt. He was the Pharaoh. These are the kings, the Herods, the Caesars. And so, along with Archelaus, who ruled over that southern region near Judea, you come back and you look at Antipas. And Antipas, we know a little bit more about him, but when we read about him, all we read mostly is about Herod. When this is the Herod who had John the Baptist imprisoned. This is the Herod who had John the Baptist beheaded. But when you go to Matthew chapter 14, you may begin to think, maybe this is the same Herod that tried to kill Jesus, who's now killing John the Baptist. Well, no, that Herod was already dead. And it wasn't Herod Archelaus, who Joseph and Mary were afraid of when they started to come back, and so they went to Nazareth instead. Totally different Herod, totally different son. Is the one who had who beheaded John the Baptist. Jesus talked about this Herod, and he called him a fox. That was Jesus' evaluation of the influence that he had, that this particular Herod had over the people. Is he knew he was kind of sly. He knew he was a trickster. And this was the Herod that Jesus appeared before when he was on trial. We'll talk about Pilate if we have time this morning. But you remember that when Jesus stood before Pilate to be tried, Pilate heard that Herod was in the region. And so Pilate took Jesus, sent him over to Herod. Herod, the king, is Herod Antipas, who was the king who Jesus stood before on trial. This Herod did not normally stay in Jerusalem. They had set up camp in the city of Caesarea. That's where they had their throne, where the kings or the Herod sat. was over in Caesarea, but occasionally they came down to Jerusalem, probably just to flex their muscles and let everybody know who was in charge. And it just so happened that at that time when Jesus was on trial, that Herod Antipas was in town. So here's three Herods. Is it three? No, now we're at three. Three Herods we've talked about. Herod the Great, then his son Archelaus, who was just as bad as his father, and Mary and Joseph tried to avoid him. Then Herod Antipas. Herod Antipas is the one who beheaded John and is the one who Jesus was tried before. And then there's Herod Philip. We only read about Herod Philip in Luke chapter 3 and verse 1. It's the only place in the Bible that we read about Philip. But we do know about Philip where he reigned and where his rule was. And Philip's rule, if you look at your Bible map, in the first class we had in this quarter was about geography. If you look at your Bible map up near the Sea of Galilee, and just north of the Sea of Galilee, you've got the cities of Cana, you've got the cities of Capernaum, you've got the city of Caesarea Philippi. Now, you may not be able to say anything specific about Cana or Capernaum or Caesarea Philippi, but do you recognize those as names of cities where Jesus frequently went? Cana, he was there. Capernaum, he was there. Caesarea Philippi. Jesus spent a lot of his ministry up in the region of Galilee, and specifically spent a lot of his ministry up in the region where Herod Philip was ruling. And the reason was that Herod Philip was not quite as intense and not quite as cruel as his brothers were. His brothers wanted to be like daddy, apparently, like Herod the Great. Philip was a little more relaxed. And so when Jesus was in that region, Jesus felt, no doubt, that he was safer there. You remember that when hostility started to broil against Jesus down in Jerusalem, where did he go? He went up to Galilee. And there in Galilee, he found peace and he found rest and safety up there. So we don't know anything about Philip from the Bible other than Luke 3 and verse 1. But we know that Jesus spent a lot of time in his territory. So there's the first three sons of Herod the Great. Aristobulus, we don't know anything about him. At least not from Scripture. He's not mentioned in Scripture. But the reason that he's important is that he was Agrippa's father. So when you go to the book of Acts and you start reading about Agrippa, you read about King Agrippa. Well, when you read about King Agrippa, well, first of all, you got to realize there's two Agrippas in the book of Acts, and we'll see that in a minute. Go to Acts chapter 12. We'll look at Acts chapter 12 first. When you read about King Agrippa in Acts chapter 12, try not to separate in your mind him from the Herod dynasty. He was a part of the Herod dynasty. He's the son of Aristobulus, and therefore he's the grandson of Herod the Great. What do we know about Agrippa? Go to Acts chapter 12. What we find out about Agrippa is that you remember that when Herod the Great died, Herod divided his land among his three sons so that none of his sons would rule over the entire land of Palestine. When his grandson, when Herod the Great's grandson Agrippa, and this is Agrippa the First, when Agrippa the First, when he began to rule, eventually Agrippa began to rule over all of Palestine. The first one to do that since his grandfather Herod the Great had been divided, but now Herod Agrippa, you can call him Herod Agrippa, Herod Agrippa, King Agrippa, ruled over over all of Palestine. Look in Acts chapter 12, look in verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king. Which Herod? Herod the Great, who tried to kill baby Jesus? Herod Archelaus, who Joseph and Mary tried to stay away from? Herod Antipas, who beheaded John the Baptist? Who are we talking about? If we if we read through the Bible and all we see is Herod, 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 we're going to think this guy's living a long time and he's just a really mean dude. And we're half right. They're all really mean. That was built into the name Herod, was you have to be mean. And so here's Herod, mean the king. In chapter 12, verse 1, he stretched out his hand to harass some of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. The first apostle who died was at the hand of Herod the Great's grandson. Herod the Great had tried to kill Jesus. Now here is Herod the Great's grandson, Agrippa, killing one of Jesus' closest friends. Jesus had 12 apostles, and then he had three that we sometimes call them the inner circle ones, because he took them on a number of occasions, just he and those three alone. Who were they? Peter and James and John. Here's the James. One of Jesus' three closest friends was killed by Herod. By Herod Agrippa. Verse 3, because Herod Agrippa saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. But that was on the day of unleavened bread. So in verse 4, when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. So when we read in Acts chapter 12 about this man named Herod, he was a very violent man. He lived, unlike some of his predecessors who lived up in Caesarea, he lived there in Jerusalem until he died. How did this Herod die? Look at the end of chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 20. Acts 12 and verse 20. Now Herod, this is Agrippa. And you know, if you write notes in your Bible, you might just write Agrippa there so that you've got, and write Agrippa the first, because we're going to read about his son later on. But now Herod, verse 20, had become very angry, had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, but they came to him with one accord, and having made Blastus, the king's personal aide, their friend, they asked for peace because their country was supplied with food by the king's country. So on a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. Isn't he a great, mighty, powerful man? The people kept shouting, "The voice of a god and not of a man." How do you think that was making Herod feel? He was making a great oration and the people saying, "Oh, he's not a man, he's a god." That's like saying, "Sick him to a dog." I mean, that's like saying amen to a preacher. If you've got this king sitting on his throne, "Oh, he's a god. What's that going to make him do?" Man, his head's going to explode. His head's going to get so big, his ego's going to get so inflated, he's going to think it's all about him, the voice of a god and not of a man. Now, of course, they may not have only been saying this for Herod's delight, but no doubt for their own purposes. You ever know those people who kind of told those in power, those who were in authority, what they wanted to hear and kind of be nice to them? There are other words that I know we have used before, but they purposefully try to be nice to them to win some kind of favor. The voice of a god. Look in verse 23. Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God. All of these people are saying, "Oh, he's the voice of a god. This isn't even a man. He's not a mortal man." Did he stop them from saying that? Did he point them to God? Because he did not stop them, because he did not give glory to God, the Lord, an angel of the Lord, struck him. And he was eaten by worms and died. I believe the usual order is the other way around, isn't it? Isn't it usually dying first and then the worms? Not so with Herod Agrippa. Uh, If you could think of a number of ways that you would like to leave this earth, would it be being consumed by worms? No, I think there'd be some other ways. But what had this man done? He had killed. He had killed an apostle. He'd imprisoned another apostle, no doubt, with a mind to do very same thing. He was becoming great. If in anything, he was becoming great in his own mind, but he was becoming great in the eyes of the people. I'm the apostle killer. I am King Agrippa the First, the apostle killer. And God said, well, let's just see about that. So here's Herod Agrippa's grandson, Agrippa the First. Agrippa the First had three children. Agrippa the Second, two daughters, Bernice and Drusilla. What do we know? These are all names that we read about, although we don't read the second. But we read about Agrippa and Bernice and Drusilla in the book of Acts. Go a little bit later in the book of Acts. Go to chapter 24. You know what? Let's come back to 24. Go to 26. You in 26? Good. Go to 25 and look in verse 13. After some days, king, he's the king. Now, is he the Caesar? Is he the emperor? Is he the almighty, the one who's in charge of everything? Well, no. That would be the Caesar in Rome. He is the Herod. He is the king, and his name is Agrippa. So here is the great-grandson of Herod the Great, the son of Agrippa the First, and Bernice, King Agrippa and Bernice. Biologically, what's the relationship between Agrippa the Second and Bernice? They're brother and sister. That was back in Matthew chapter 14, and that's where it comes in with Matthew 14 and the Herodias that's mentioned over in that passage with John the Baptist. Again, was a Herod. Antipas in Matthew chapter 14 had taken, what did John the Baptist tell him about the one he had taken to be his wife? It's not lawful for you to have her. That is an improper relationship. Now, here's Agrippa and Bernice. They are brother and sister. And while Scripture does not come out and say this to us explicitly, there were times in their relationship of Agrippa and Bernice where they were living together as more than brother and sister. Okay? Some sick folks. Here's Agrippa and Bernice. They came to Caesarea. Remember what we said about Caesarea? Caesarea is where the kings of Palestine, Herod the Great, Herod Agrippa, that's where they lived. That's where their palace was in Caesarea. So that's why Agrippa and Bernice came there. And that's where Paul was in prison. Paul was in prison in Caesarea. Now come to chapter 26. Paul is brought before, this is King Agrippa. So this is Agrippa the Second, because his dad's name was Agrippa also. Agrippa said to Paul in chapter 26, you are permitted to speak for yourself. So Paul stretched out his hand and answered for himself, and he began to make his defense before King Agrippa. Look down in verse 9. Paul is telling about his life before he became a Christian. In Acts 26 and verse 9, he said, indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. Remember that Paul was converted in Acts chapter 9. Paul recounts that conversion in Acts 22. Here's the second time we read about his recount. The third time we read about his conversion in the book is here in chapter 26. And he's standing before King Agrippa when he tells of his conversion. Verse 14, he tells him how he fell to the ground. And he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Come down to verse 19. He tells about the Lord's vision to him. And then in verse 19, he says, "Therefore, King Agrippa," he's a Herod, "I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. For these reasons, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. Therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand witnessing both to small and to great, saying no other things than those which the prophets of Moses said would come." So he used the scripture to preach, verse 23, that the Christ would suffer, that he would rise again from the dead, and that he would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. What was Agrippa's response to Paul's preaching? Look at verse 27. "King Agrippa," Paul says, "do you believe the prophets? I know you believe the prophets." What's Agrippa's response? "Almost. You persuade me to become a Christian." Put that in the context of who Agrippa is. Agrippa is the great grandson of the man who tried to kill baby Jesus, Herod the Great. Herod the Great tried to kill baby Jesus and was unsuccessful in it. He had a son named Aristobulus, we don't know much about. He had a son, Aristobulus did, named Agrippa, who killed one of Jesus' closest friends. The first apostle martyred was James. His son Agrippa says to the preacher named Paul, after Paul presents the gospel to him, "I don't know if he was lying. I don't know that he was exaggerating. Let's take him at his word. Let's take him at his word." The great grandson of the man who tried to kill baby Jesus said, "You know what? You almost got me. You almost persuaded me to become a follower of the man that my great-grandfather tried to kill." You put all of that together, could that have changed King Agrippa's life? Well, being converted to Christ is supposed to change any person's life. How much would King Agrippa have had to change to become a Christian? Would he have to perhaps sever some family ties? Yeah. Would he perhaps be put out of the family, ostracized, maybe even have a mark put on his head by his own family? Could that happen? Yeah, that could happen. He didn't do that, though. "Almost you persuaded me. You almost got me." And then what does Paul say in the next verse? I wish you weren't almost persuaded. In fact, I wish not only everybody who hears me was not only almost persuaded, but altogether persuaded. Does almost persuaded mean that you're almost saved? Can you be halfway saved? Is that like rounding, when you teach children rounding figures in school? You know, if you're halfway there, if it's 0.5, if you're halfway there, what you're there, aren't you? I mean, you just round it up. 0.5, you just round it up to the 1. Okay, I'm there. Does that work with becoming a Christian? I'm halfway there. God, I made it halfway. Just round me up. Chuck? Yeah. When you read about this man, we read about King Agrippa and we think, boy, you know, he would have to give up so much. He would have to sever ties with his family. He would have to turn his back on everything he had ever been, on everything he had ever done. Who was talking to him, though? Who was the one telling him the gospel? Was it somebody who had to turn his back on everything he had ever done and everything he had ever been? I mean, if there was someone who had made sacrifices for the cause of Christ and who was standing before a man and telling him that he needed to make sacrifices for the cause of Christ, this is pretty good conversation. Look at verse 30. Acts 26 and verse 30. "When he had said these things, the king stood up as well as the governor and Bernice and those who sat with them. When they had gone aside, they talked among themselves. They said, 'This man's doing nothing wrong. He does not deserve these changes.' Then Agrippa said to Festus," and here's where I want us to get into another discussion of a particular type of governing style. He said to Festus, this man might have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. In verse 32, you have three different governing authorities mentioned. If he had not appealed to Caesar, who's Caesar? The almighty emperor of the whole Roman Empire. You have Agrippa mentioned. Who's Agrippa? He's the king of Palestine. And with Agrippa II, he was the king over all of Palestine. So that's within the region of Rome, but he is under the emperor. But then you also have Festus mentioned. Who's Festus? We would call him a governor. In that time, they called them procurators. We have the emperor, we have the king, we have the procurator, the emperor over all the region, Caesar. Agrippa, the king over this region of Palestine. And then this little pocket down here in Judah, in Jerusalem, has a governor, has a procurator. And at this time, the name of that procurator is Festus. So let me come back to this chart one more time, and then I want us to talk about these procurators in the time we have left. So try to get this in your mind as to where all of these Herods fit. You got Herod the Great, the three sons we know about that got land, Aristobulus we know nothing about, but we know his son, Agrippa, who is also called Herod in Acts chapter 12, who killed James, and so that king was eaten by worms and died. He had a son named Agrippa, who was almost persuaded. Agrippa had a sister, and sometimes more than a sister, who lived with her brother named Bernice. They had a sister named Drusilla, who became the wife of Felix. Is this enough names for you? Felix was the procurator, was the governor over Jerusalem before Festus. We just read about Festus, the last verse of chapter 26. Felix was the governor, I don't know if we'll have time to get to chapter 24, but that's where we read about Felix and Drusilla, who was the daughter of Agrippa, the wife of Felix. You see how all of this governing stuff just interrelates. You know, if you'll marry him and she'll marry you, then all of these authorities will intertwine. The procurators were those governors who had a certain amount of authority to rule in their areas. They had judicial authority, they had military authority, they had financial authority. When the Jews wanted to kill Jesus, when the Jews wanted Jesus put to death, under the governing system of that day, could they sentence Jesus to capital punishment? They could not. Now, within this whole governing system, and even within these governors like Agrippa was in Jerusalem, they still allowed even some of those religious bodies to maintain their governing systems. For example, the Jews had the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was the Jewish court that sat and heard Jewish cases, problems that were brought before them. When Jesus was arrested, who was the first person that Jesus was taken before? And you can give me one of two names and it'll be all right. Who was the first person? It was not a Roman person that Jesus was taken before first. He was arrested, and in the nighttime, where did they take Jesus? Caiaphas or Annas? Okay, and we don't have time to get into the fact and to both of them being high priests and who was high priest at that time. But Caiaphas, they took him before Caiaphas, who was the high priest of the Jews. So they started at the bottom, and they were just going to work their way up. So they started with the high priest to get the high priest's involvement in this. Then the high priest convened the Sanhedrin for Jesus to be tried before the Sanhedrin, Both of these were illegal kangaroo-type courtrooms here being held in the middle of the night. He's tried before the Sanhedrin, and the Jewish court decides he needs to be put to death. But they did not have the authority to sentence Jesus to capital punishment. They wanted him dead, but under the governing system, they did not have the right to do that. Only the Romans had the right to put someone to death. So they had to take their case, the Sanhedrin did, the Jewish leaders had to take their case to the next level. Well, the next level is to the governor. The next level is to the procurator, the governor of that area, who at the time that Jesus, during his ministry and in the end of his life, that procurator was named Pontius Pilate. Pilate was that governor that they took Jesus before, because Pilate was given authority and power by the Roman government, Pilate could sentence him to death. Pilate could have him crucified. The Jewish system could not. They didn't have that authority. So they took him to Pilate. Now, he stands before Pilate to be tried. We've already said that Pilate tried him for a while, and then he heard that Herod was in town. This is Herod Antipas. Herod Antipas was over Pilate. Pilate's just the governor. He's the procurator. But Herod Antipas was the king. And that's why he sent him to Herod Antipas. And of course, Herod, when Jesus got before Herod, Herod had wanted to see him. He wanted to see Jesus do a trick. He wanted to see Jesus do a miracle. And Jesus wasn't going to give in to Herod's wishes, and so Herod sent him back to Pilate. But Jesus is tried before Pilate, and we know that Pilate was a coward. And that did Pilate find anything wrong that Jesus had done? Any guilt? Could he find anything that Jesus was, any matter that Jesus was guilty of? Not a single one. But yet he was weak. And so here's Pilate, who told the people, "I find no fault in him." And we said this last week, that although he said he not find no fault with him, the people said, if you don't put him to death, then you're no friend of Caesar. And they went all the way to the top. They said, "We're going to let your boss know what you're doing or not doing. We're going to let your boss know that you're letting this guy claim he's the king of the Jews. He's not our king." But Pilate was too weak to fight against it. And so when they threatened to send him to Caesar, Pilate gave in. But when you talk about the governing system, you have to see where Pilate fits in. Pilate fits in as one of those governors. We're going to run out of time, but let me just throw up. Felix was another one of those governors. He was another procurator that came along, and Felix is the one that Paul stood before in Acts chapter 24. And then following Felix, all of this will be online tomorrow. I know some of you are trying to follow this. But after Felix, there was Festus, who Paul stood before. And you put all of this, hopefully this doesn't muddy the water. Hopefully this helps to clear some things up about how the government worked, how the hierarchy in that government worked, who everybody was, how they're all related to each other, to see that there was a line of succession, to understand who Herod or the Herods were and how those were related to the Agrippas. They're all the same family. And yet, God chose, Galatians 4 and verse 4, give me 20 seconds. Galatians 4 and verse 4 says that God chose a specific time to send His Son. There was something about this system, not only the freedom that they had to teach, not only the road system, not only the common language, the Koine Greek, but there was something about this governing system that was going to work. You say, well, it put Jesus to death. That was part of God's plan. And it all worked according to God's plan so that we could be saved. Thank you all for your good attention this morning. I hope this has helped some.